thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
This thing is on. We're on. You're on. We're all here together again for more than a decade. It's the Data Doctors each and every Saturday talking about technology, talking about computers, helping you with your frustrations, helping you with your technology purchase decisions, here to provide whatever assistance we can, and we thank you for joining us. I've got a couple of special guests. Well, they're not that special. They're just some guys hanging out to help help me make the show go smooth, lubricate the show, so to speak.
Nothing better to do on a Saturday.
That's Louis Georges across from me there that you heard his raspy voice from Mac Media. He's the local hometown. I don't know if we can call it local hometown. This is a little too big of a town to be a hometown. But he's the guy in town when... I'm a kind of technical guy, but when I have Mac questions, he'd be the guy, or maybe one of his brother or one of his guys I'd probably call. So he's here to join in the debauchery, to join in the fun, to join in the technology mayhem, and to help carry the show along, talk to you, answer questions if you've got questions, and whether they concern Macs, PCs, they can concern iPhones, iPods, technology in general, whatever they are. We're here to help you. 602-277-5827. Also to my right, I have Michael Ennis. And with nothing that's going to relate to anything that people would call you for, like a technology business kind of thing. So
never.
He's just here to help out because after the show's done, we're taking a road trip.
Ooh, yay.
Not a really exciting one. His kids have been with his parents who live in Bullhead City for the last week.
Yay.
They need to be picked up. And he said, hey, you want a road trip to Laughlin? And I said, yes. And then afterwards he said, well, we're going to be picking up my kids, so it's really Bullhead
gotcha.
City. And I went, oh, all right. Well, still road trip.
He left that out, didn't he?
We can still plug in the iPod, yeah. Throw on the tunes, and hang out. So
yeah,
that's what we're doing as soon as the show ends.
Yeehaw.
For anybody driving... towards Laughlin, watch out.
Look out.
After 2 o'clock, the roadways will be dangerous because we'll be upon them with our technology, our gadgets, our GPS, our iPod, or whatever else we can cook up in the Disney mobile. So
that's right. Stay out of California if you don't have your Bluetooth headset on.
That's right. I was actually there over the 4th of July weekend, and they have big signs up everywhere talking about the new law. Have your Bluetooth, whatever. And I'm thinking, I don't have my Bluetooth, whatever. I didn't know this was a new thing. But I wasn't really on the phone a whole lot, so it was probably not that big a deal.
You know what's amazing, though, is you can drive down the road with a cigarette in your hand.
Yeah.
But you can't have a phone in your hand.
Yeah, there's actually a couple of, if you go out and hunt on YouTube for parody videos about the new hands-free law in California, you'll find a couple of funny ones. There's one in particular that's a guy, he's hands-free now, and he's got his headset on, and he's talking in his headset. He's calling everybody he knows to let him know, hey, I got my headset. This thing really rocks. And while he's calling, of course, he's driving with his knees because he's on his laptop. He's typing up a report. He's styling hair. He's doing all these different things. They have all these different shots. And the whole time he's describing to people that he's talking to on the phone that, man, I never realized how good this hands-free thing could be. Look at all I can get done while I'm driving now.
Perfect.
And, there's some interesting stuff out there. So you can check those things out. Of course, we want you to check us out, or more importantly, our website out, because there's resources posted for you. You can find the website at datadoctors.com/radio, or if that slash thing doesn't work for you, by the way, the slash can go either direction for the web. It figures it all out and puts you where you need to be. But in case that's just too much for you, datadoctors.com, click where it says radio show, and you'll be at the same place where you'll see today's topic du jour, the fabulous, fantastical firewall. And you're thinking, how could a firewall be fantastic or fabulous or fantastical for that matter? Well, we're going to talk about the importance of a firewall. We're going to talk about the differences between hardware and software firewalls. We'll talk firewalls for Mac, firewalls for PC, firewalls for Linux. No, we won't actually talk firewalls for Linux. We'll talk about all kinds of different things related to firewalls. Of course, if your question isn't specific to security and firewalls, you're welcome to give us a call anyway. We'll talk to you. We'll help you out. We'll guide you through it. We'll talk you down. We'll get the frustration out of your, whatever you're frustrated with. You're thinking about making that upcoming technology purchase because back to school's coming. Can you believe it's already, what are we, halfway through July? The summer's half gone, half full, half empty. Which one, Lewis?
It doesn't matter to me.
but back to school stuff is really, for us in the big AZ, or at least in the Phoenix part, what's that, like less than a month away now?
Yeah, my kids go back on the 28th. It's unreal.
Yeah. Like,
are you kidding me already?
That's a few weeks away, so school is going to start back up. Maybe you're thinking, I know Ken was talking to the day, his daughter's getting ready to go to school. She's going to Manhattan to some crazy photography and art school, and he's got to buy some technology for her because she needs to get portable and go roll. I think he's going to be talking to you, by the way, if he hasn't already hit you up.
Actually, I already placed the order.
Yeah, he's saying, you know, because she's in the arts and stuff, a MacBook is really the way to go. And I was encouraging him and said, heck yeah, because, I mean, you can go both ways with the Mac.
So it's not about that anymore, right?
Exactly. So I figured he would be talking to you, but he's already beat to the punch there. But he's already making his purchase. It's on order, as you said. And maybe you're out there thinking about making your purchase. Maybe you're at the place walking around where they sell mayonnaise and refrigerators and computers, and you're wondering, is A, this a good place to buy, and B, do the guys here actually know what they're talking about? Well, you can give us a call here because we know what we're talking about. We can help guide you through. We can guide you in. We can guide you home. We can make sure you don't make the purchase that you'll regret. I was actually talking to someone here at the lovely Uptown KTAR Studios a few weeks ago. She had asked my advice on purchasing a laptop computer. I gave her some advice, and my advice to her was the same advice that I give to my mom.
Buy the cheapest thing you can find.
Yeah, no, that wasn't my advice. But it was the same advice I gave my friends and my relatives and even my in-laws and people on the air. And the same advice I gave her was, what you buy is not nearly as important as who you buy it from. And she said, what do you mean? And so I went on to explain that, well, you know, the box is the box is the box these days. Manufacturers, yeah, true, they cut some corners. But where they really cut corners is in support and then in all the junk that they load up because they're getting paid by the manufacturers. But that's something at least that can be cleaned up. But when you have a problem, you need somebody you can count on, somebody you can help. And so she took all that in, listened, and then she went and bought the cheapest thing she could find. And then a few weeks later, she was frustrated because it was broken. Thankfully, she had purchased the extended warranty, whatever, that provided for a replacement system instead of having to be out the system for 3 weeks while they fixed it. But she got then a new system, except for it was only a loaner. And so she had to copy all of her stuff over and get all of her programs all set up and stuff for the 2 weeks while her machine was gone. And then when she gets it back, she gets to do it all over again because, of course, it'll be reloaded. So she'll have gone through the experience of transferring and copying and setting up three times by the time she's a month into her purchase.
So you get the loaner and then they put some refurbished parts in the old one?
Yeah, but then, of course, they reformat it and start all over. So what the moral of the story is here is that she went afterwards. Gosh, you know. Plus when she got it, she had to have a bunch of stuff taken off. She spent money on that. Then it didn't come with a full version of Office, even though it said it had Office. She didn't really pay attention. It only came with a 30-day trial that you had to pay to activate. So by the time it was all said and done, she paid just as much as if she had not bought the cheapest thing possible. And she went through a lot of frustration, and she was saying, you know, I wish I would have bought it from a different place, because this place I'm dealing with, I'm gonna have to go through this process again. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's amazing. So it hit home for her, and I think a lot of people, after their first bad experience, unfortunately, they have to have that bad experience before they figure out that the initial price is only where things begin, not where they end. With a lot of places, and so you got to be careful of those really low deals out there. If you're shopping for that back to school computer and you see that $200, $300, whatever computer, it is too good to be true. It will cost you more than that by the time you get it properly equipped with antivirus and spyware. By the time you get all the garbage cleaned off, by the time you put a full Office suite on, you know, these things. I tell most people those low cost loss leader kind of boxes, by the time you actually get them and make them functional the way you want them, they're going to double in price.
So ask that sales rep what the TCO is on that computer.
The TCO?
Total cost of ownership.
So you have to explain the acronyms that you use here.
You probably have to explain it to that salesperson, too, I would guess.
If you need acronyms explained to you, again, we are here to help you. 602-277-5827. That's the number you can dial right now. We got lines open for you. We're going to get a quick check with Carla Cruz in the KTR Traffic Center to find out what's happening on the roadways so that you can know how to navigate those roads out there. Carla? Welcome back to the Computer Corner. If you want to check out some of the resources we have posted online in the way of firewalls and things you may need to know or want to know, you can check them all out. datadoctors.com/radio. We'll talk about firewalls and some of the things that you should be aware of and the differences between the different stuff out there, and do I need to pay for one, or is the free one good, or do I need hardware as well, software, all those kinds of things as the show progresses. So stick around for those things. We're going to see if we can maybe jump on a couple of phone calls, help some people out. Maybe that'll warm up the phone lines, because usually within like the first minute or two, they're all destroyed. Everybody takes them and uses them, and that's great. But today, there's two free lines, and we're like 15 minutes into the show. That's insanity. I'm not slacking. It's the call. Maybe it's Mario. They're intimidated by Mario, because when you call in, Mario's the guy that's going to answer. And he's a really intimidating... No, he's a really nice guy. You'll like Mario. 602-277-5827. That's the number Travis dialed. Travis, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hey, guys. First off, I want to start by saying I hope you guys have a safe trip over to the... Hell on Earth.
Yeah, it could be that way.
Bullhead City is like 120 in the shade.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's not that much hotter than Phoenix. Come on.
Oh, it's nice today. Come on. It's beautiful. We have 4 inches of rain in Chandler.
Yeah, this is not a dry heat.
All right, getting to my question. All right, my question is not about firewalls, but I like Zone Alarm for a firewall. I really enjoy that. I've had it on my PC for about a couple years now. So if anyone's out there, I like Zone Alarm.
Yeah, Zone Alarm. They have a couple. They have a free version and a pay version.
I've been using the free version, and it's been very, you know, it kind of acts like Vista does, where you have to allow certain things to go through, but that's, you know, it's only annoying when you first start a new program, but then that goes away when you've allowed it, you know, permanently.
Yeah, I like Zone Alarm too. I think if you're not real technical, it throws things up that a lot of times confuse non-technical users, and they don't understand how to answer the questions that are being asked. So I found it not to be super friendly for non-technical, but if you're at all technical, it's a pretty good program to put in place there.
All right. Well, getting my question. Thinking about buying a PlayStation 3, okay, and I was thinking about streaming the media from my PC to my PS3, PlayStation 3. No acronyms. Sorry, guys. And just trying to find out if I saw it on YouTube how you can do it, but they don't show you the hardware of doing it wirelessly through a wireless router.
Okay, so where your PS3 is and where your PC is, they're in two different places that getting a wire between the two isn't going to happen for you.
Yeah, I have a wireless network right now.
Okay, there's a couple of different options of things you can do that make it really kind of what I would call brain dead easy.
Okay.
There's, first of all, besides going wireless, there is another option a lot of people aren't aware of called power line adapters.
Okay.
And these deals work kind of like, they're a little box that's probably 2 inches thick by 4 inches by 4 inches, maybe, something like that. They plug into the wall into an existing electrical outlet.
Okay.
And they have an Ethernet jack on the bottom, a regular network jack.
Okay.
So you'd buy a pair of them. One would go and plug in to an electrical outlet near where your router is, or your switch, or whatever network equipment you have in the house.
Okay.
And the other, you'd plug in right near where your PS3 is. And then both ends, once you've plugged them into the wall, you just put a little Ethernet cable between the thing plugging into the wall and your either PS3 at one end or router at the other. And within a few seconds, and no configuration and no drivers and no fuss, no muss, you have yourself connected.
To the PS3.
Yeah, your PS3 will be connected to your network, therefore to the internet, to your home network, all the other computers, that kind of stuff. So there's one option. Yep. Another is that companies like Linksys, Netgear, those kind of guys, they make devices that are basically like a little wireless access point almost.
Okay.
But they're made specifically for TiVos and game consoles and things like that.
Okay.
So they're just a box that communicates wirelessly, but they have an Ethernet jack on them so that you can plug into your Xbox or your PS3 or whatever the case is.
Oh, sweet. Okay, and you can get both of these things like a Radio Shack?
Maybe. At the physical store, maybe,
or
online.
Or Fry's Electronics.
Fry's, yeah.
Yeah, you can go there, and I love those lines at Fry's.
No, I like going back and forth and seeing all the candy and everything else that I have to buy.
Isn't that great?
And
exactly.
And the white shirts and the dress. You know, I feel like I'm going through, like, seeing my neighborhood, and they should be on bicycles.
For sure, that place would have them, as well as lots of others and online retailers. I mean, they're pretty abundant out there. So there's a couple of easy options for you.
It's a whole different universe.
Well, you guys have a safe trip, okay?
Hey, thanks, Travis.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
That frees up a line, 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Lots more show to go, including our Head Whack of the Week, Geek Speak of the Week, and more of your calls when we come back from this short news break. Stick around. Thinking about running out and grabbing an iPhone? If you were thinking about doing it yesterday, you might have gotten an interesting surprise, like Lewis did.
He could have been standing in line with me, with my dead phone.
So what happened yesterday? The iPhone 3G, for those of you out there listening that are going, what are they talking about? By the way, this is Computer Corner. Welcome back. and we thought we should do that.
Whoopsie.
The iPhone has been around for a better part of a year now, right?
About a year.
Yep. And there's this new thing you're probably seeing, iPhone 3G, and you're going, well, it's just another iPhone. Looks exactly the same. What's the big deal? The big deal is that it's got twice as much goods under the hood for half the price. That's the big deal, in a nutshell. I mean, we could get into all the technical details of what it is, but you don't really care about that. It's a big deal. It's a major upgrade, if you will, a major change-out, a major deal in the world of mobile phones and smartphones and those kinds of things. Anyway, yesterday was the launch date for said phone. Lewis, along with plenty of other people around the country, went to go get their new iPhone 3G, faster, half the price, slices, dices, does everything in the world, and it's just cool as can be. And then they found out when they were waiting in line, different stores would tell them different things. Some people would say, we're out of stock, this, that, and the other. What actually happened is there was such demand on day one that it crashed the activation servers to activate the devices, actually killed iTunes, the whole thing that you download music from and movies and everything else that they do now with iTunes, because it's not iTunes anymore, which is kind of ironic.
It's everything.
Yes. So what's the deal now, Lewis? Is today a safe day if you're ready?
Well, it looks like everything went up after about 3 or 4 hours of being down. I'm sure that cost them a pretty penny.
Yeah. So some people were interesting thing. When the first iPhone came out, you could go to the store, you'd buy the thing, you'd stand in line, buy it, and then you'd go home and self-activate it by plugging it in, docking it, iTunesing, all these things.
Or hack it.
Right. And a lot of people found out real easily, or real quickly, that you didn't actually have to activate it with AT&T. You could do things to it. Let's just say. And so AT&T and Apple got together and said, okay, with this new release, let's do things differently. Let's not do that anymore because we lost revenue and there's a big problem. And so they made it so you could only activate them in the store. But, of course, then on day one, that's broken. And so some of the stores just started sending people home saying, we'll just let you activate it from home, which, of course, opens up the whole issue again. So, anyway, things are back online today. If you're really into that, the latest, greatest bleeding edge, it should be available for you today, and you can run out and do that. But yesterday, you would have probably had some issues.
And the new App Store is just amazing. Mm-hmm. The number of applications that are on there now, there's about 500 applications. And I love my MLB application because now I can watch every single baseball game there is.
Yeah, that thing's awesome.
All at once.
And Lewis is a baseball freak, we found out during two breaks ago.
Yeah.
When he started showing us all the craziness that this thing would do. So, anyway.
Well, the video replay is really impressive.
Yeah.
Video replay. It is actually pretty impressive that you can watch full streaming video on a little mobile phone, and it only takes a few seconds to get rolling, and it's watchable. I mean,
yeah,
it's
amazing.
It's pretty crazy. So let's see if we can jump back on the phones, help some more people out, and we'll mix in some firewall stuff as we kind of roll here. But up next is John. John, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help you?
Well, thank you. Hey, I'm losing my Sprint broadband service, and I'm wondering if I should go with Cox to try to get a satellite.
So Sprint broadband, for people listening, back in the old days, and that wasn't that too long ago, in a lot of parts of the valley, you didn't have many choices when it came to high-speed internet. And Sprint bought up something called Speed Choice, which was a little fixed wireless, basically a little dish you'd put up that pointed at South Mountain that would allow you to download stuff. And funny enough, 100 years ago or so, Lewis actually worked at Speed Choice, then Sprint. That's actually where we met.
Yeah. Wow.
And so anyway, you're wondering now what they're pulling the plug. They actually kind of sort of announced they were doing that a couple years ago. But
right, the end of the month.
Right, so you're left kind of high and dry, and you're wondering, what should I do? Have you already checked to see what's available to you?
Well, I looked at Cox, and they have a strange thing. It says the lowest grade is 1.5 megabytes max, and then the next one's 10, and the next one's 20, but it says max. It doesn't say minimum. You know, that I don't understand. Is there a difference between them?
Yeah, well, anything you're going to get is going to be faster than what you've been used to.
Oh, I'm sure.
Considerably faster and probably cost less.
Right.
So, I mean, if it was me, if you have both options available to you, both options being the cable thing from Cox or the phone thing from Quest, I would personally go with the cable thing from Cox. It's considerably faster. It's a little bit more expensive, but when it's all said and done, if you already have cable TV service, if you bundle in the phone and stuff, it probably works out to be about the same.
Well, I do have just the phone. I'm wondering about the tier, though. Should I go with the high speed or the lowest grade? Or
always go faster.
Always go faster. You know, I heard a rumor, but I don't know that it's true for all people in all areas, that they didn't have very good control over what they delivered, and so no matter what speed you got the same thing.
Right, I'm wondering, though, if it is indeed faster. They say max. They don't say minimum speed. They say that's the max.
Because right, you know what? At the end of the day, minimum speeds, I don't think you're going to find an ISP on the planet that will talk about minimum speeds. The problem is that the speed between you and the provider is all they can measure. Between you and where you actually care about, which is the websites you go to and your email server and all the other things you're going to do, right. That's out of their control. They only can deliver one side of that connection. That's between you and getting you on the internet. After that, it's the internet, baby.
Yeah.
Now, can I use my same email address, which is not, would it have to be cox.net?
Well, so your email address, you don't have to give us the email address. That would be a bad idea. But just the last part, after the at symbol, what do you have?
Switch1.com. It's my own site.
Oh, yeah, then you can keep,
oh, yeah,
you can use
absolutely.
That. I mean, you can use that, you can use Gmail, you can use, you're going to get up to 7 email addresses from Cox. Yeah, you'll have those too, I mean, but you don't have to use any of those. I have, I'm sure, a cox.net address. I don't know what it is. I've never used
it.
Yeah,
I do too. I don't know what it is. I don't use
that. Sure, thank you for your help. I think I will go with Cox since I already have my phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that. And if you end up having a great experience, bad experience, either way, you let us know about it back here.
And if there is a commission, have them send it to a... I'm sending it to the radio station.
That's right.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Thanks for the call, John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we want to make sure we get in on that that commission if they're paying, right? So the title of today's show, The Fabulously Fantastical Firewall. That was Ken being silly
with
words.
Sounds like some kind of Willy Wonka-related thing. It's good. I like it.
Well, I think Ken's related to Willy Wonka in a weird way.
Yeah, I'd have to probably agree.
So, the big question, well, a couple of questions kind of come to mind here. The firewall thing, most people, without even getting into any real technical details, if you connect to a high-speed internet service and you have more than one computer in your home, you already have, in almost every case, a hardware firewall, or at least a basic device in place that's going to take care of the biggest, baddest, nastiest stuff to worry about. And that biggest, baddest, nastiest stuff would be the things... like people trying to connect to your box and do malicious stuff. So I know that's a really bad description, but...
What kind of acronyms do you have for us?
I think STUFF is a big acronym.
Okay.
So you that's already in place, And there's different varying levels of what hardware firewalls are. But for most people, that's pretty good protection that's already in place. Plus what's built into, if you're running a Windows operating system that's built in the last 10 years or so, you've got the built-in Windows firewall, which, for all the knocks on Microsoft and security, it's a decent firewall. It does a decent job of blocking what it's supposed to block. It's not overly annoying. Windows Vista might be a little bit more annoying, but not bad. So those things are there, and I think for most users, that's probably a pretty good combination. Now, in the Mac world, I know there's something built in, but the deal is it's turned off by default. Is that right?
Yeah, it is disabled by default, and it's firewall that's built into the security area of the OS, so it's under the system preferences and then in security.
We've actually got a link under this week's links. If you're at datadoctors.com/radio, you'll see enabling the Mac OS X firewall that's disabled by default. There's a link there. It gives you step-by-step instructions on how to enable that bad boy and turn bad into good or good into bad or whatever it is that you're going to need to do there. But there is one built in there. The same deal goes for the Mac, I'm guessing, where the built-in one's pretty good stuff for most users, pretty adequate protection. You're in good shape.
Yeah, it seems to work fine. I mean, I don't think you really need much more unless you're just really concerned about.
Right, there are those out there that are super concerned, and so for those people, then there are a number of choices out there. There's Zone Alarm from a software standpoint. There's Black Ice Defender. These some names that have been around a long time. There's newer names out there too. A lot of the sort of all-in-one PC protection, antivirus, anti-spyware tend to have stuff built in. I'm not a real big fan of those things, and I'm going to take a guess here. I know for myself for sure, but I'm going to guess that all three of us in the room here, none of us have anything other than what's built into the operating system and whatever hardware, regular router we have in your home, in your office. Is that true?
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah. Yeah, so three guys in the business that use computers and technology pretty much for all their lives, and none of us have anything beyond that. I think that speaks pretty well for the fact that I think for most people that's pretty adequate stuff. So,
well, are you more concerned about the information coming in or going out?
I'm most concerned with stuff coming in and trying to do bad things to me.
Okay.
I'm generally, you know, and this where maybe where we're a little bit different than the average Joe user. We know what to click on, what not to do. For example, I don't open attachments in my email. Well, I do. I say I don't, but I open Word docs and Excel spreadsheets and things like that because I know what they look like, and I know specifically the kinds of things that bad ones would look like.
You know who they came from to start with, so you know in most cases you're pretty okay with that.
Yeah, you know? The problem with knowing who they came from is that for a while that was something that was used
right.
against you.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
And the thing about knowing who they come from is you know how that person writes. You're generally in regular communications with them. You talk. For example, Mike and I might be talking. We'll go to lunch one day and we'll talk about that he's going to send me over something, the latest picture of Anna Kournikova, because that's what Mike's into. Not me, but that's Mike.
Nice.
And so he'll email that thing over to me, and if I knew that he was going to send it because we talked about it, well, then we're cool. But if I get some weird cryptic email that's written in real broken English, and Mike, you may not know it because I haven't let him talk a whole lot yet, but he doesn't speak broken English. He speaks pretty good English. I'm going to be a little suspicious of that email, especially when it's something we never talked about, and it's got a .exe extension on it, and
you open my good Anna.exe picture.
Yeah, that's not the Mike I know. I might even call Mike up and say, hey, what is this junk? Or I might hit reply but delete the little attachment and say, did you just send me some junk?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So,
well, it's always good when you get spam from yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, those are great. Always open those, right?
Yeah, so I guess my point in all this is that I probably don't feel the need for additional protection as far as what's going out because I know what to click on and what not to. And so maybe if you're a less technically inclined user and you're not sure what to click on and you maybe open things and you kind of drive a little dangerously sometimes, then maybe having something that notifies you every time internet access is trying to happen other than your regular browsing and stuff, maybe that's not a bad idea. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That might be something that you want. So there are options out there. There are things that you can check into. We've got all kinds of resources posted for you. Again, datadoctors.com/radio. That's where you'll find those resources. And if you have any specific questions about firewalls, of course, we invite you to give us a call, 602-277-5827. And we've got one line open for you now. We're going to take a quick timeout here, get another check of traffic and weather from the KTAR Traffic Center and Carla Cruz. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We've got resources posted for you about fabulously fantastical firewalls. Don't worry, there's no F's in the URL. URL means address, for those that don't know. It actually stands for...
Uniform?
Uniform Resource Locator.
There it is.
Pulled that out.
Ooh, you
the
did.
Last minute.
You did.
Datadoctors.com/radio. That's the URL /URL/address/... whatever you want to call it. And those resources about firewalls, all posted there for you. We're going to jump back on the phones and help people because the lines are all booked up. And Chuck, Jim, Mike, Robert, Pat, you guys sit tight. Be patient. We're going to get to you, I promise. And you're going to be glad you waited because you got three guys, or at least two guys, not including me, that know what's up. Did I overpromote? Are we okay? Did I overhype? We should
slow
be all right.
Down there.
Let's talk to Robert. Robert's got some printer problems, I think. Robert, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Well, thank you. Great show as always, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I've got a question about my home network. I have a desktop with a wireless adapter into which I have plugged a Brother multifunction printer, brand new. Across the room sits laptop number one, which I happen to buy from Data Doctors and I'm very happy with.
Nice.
Thank you for the free commercial.
Yeah, that was good.
Thanks, Dad. I mean,
and at the,
Robert.
I'll bill you. And then laptop number two across the room is sitting there as well, each with their own wireless setup. I've got a router, and all three computers are on the network.
So are they all in the same room?
They're all in the same room.
So before we go any further, just because I have to ask, if they're all in the same room...
How many people use them? Two.
No. If they're all in the same room, why are you doing wireless?
Well, because the distances involved and the hassle of running a wire up and through the attic and down, and I don't need that.
That must be a heck of a big room.
Some people don't want cables
actually,
all over the place.
It's actually two rooms. It's my home office and our living room. And,
that
and
makes
the
sense.
Computers are about 50 feet apart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I've been over to Mike's house, and he just blows a hole through the wall with a screwdriver, and
absolutely.
There goes the cable.
That's
now, there's a thought. I'll run that past the wife.
I'm sure she'll love it. I'm sure Mike's wife loves it.
Oh,
but
she did.
Anyway, so in your situation, this makes sense. And hopefully you're not having wireless problems, so we won't even worry about that. So what can we help with, maybe?
No, everything works fine. What I'd like to be able to do is, because the printer is plugged into the desktop in my office, I would like to be in a situation where I could be on laptop one or laptop two wirelessly and send a document to the printer and print it over the network.
Okay. Go for it.
Is that doable?
Yes, absolutely it is.
Okay.
So some of the multifunction features, meaning the slicing, dicing, copying, and faxing, may not work. But
yeah, I don't need that.
Just the printing
will be fine.
Yeah, just the printing should work. Now, I'm going to say should with a big exclamation point.
Okay.
How do I put this really gently?
Warranties, express, or implied.
No. You just bought the Brother printer, right?
Yeah, it's new. It's really nice.
Do you have an opportunity to take it back? Because after what I'm done saying with what I'm done, after I'm done saying what I'm going to say, you may want to, or you may want to punch me through the phone.
Well, just tell me.
I'm not a real big fan of the Brother multifunction devices or Brother printers or Brother devices in general.
Okay.
Their P-Touch label maker is pretty nice.
That works good.
But with that being said, they... Gosh, the printer itself, the hardware stuff, good stuff. Where they tend to fall down, in my past experience, is in their drivers, their application software, the stuff that Windows communicates with to make it print. So if that's not working well, then the printer, while it's a great piece of hardware, has a hard time being able to get done its primary job, which is printing, and that's a big problem. Now, from a local computer to the machine, generally there aren't problems. It's when you try to involve networking the thing that the problems sometimes come to play. Now, they may have improved things. You may be that this may not apply to you. I don't know. I'm just saying in general, if I was going to go to the store and buy a printer, that would not be a brand I would look at and buy. Now, if you want to return that, you go ahead. If not, I would try it out. You got it at this point. But
yeah, it's too late to do that,
okay.
And it seems to be working just fine, so I'll give it a shot.
You ought to be able to take that printer that's hooked up and working right now and go into your little printer settings place where you can see the printer and right-click on it and go to sharing and just share the thing, and it should
printers
be...
Printers and faxes.
Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you step-by-step hand-holding on just this very thing. if you don't mind hanging around for about 2 seconds while I tell everybody else to hang on and sit tight and don't go anywhere. Don't change the dial. Don't, you know, just stick around. We got a whole another hour of show to go. We got lines open for you at 602-277-5827. When we come back, we got our head whack of the week, our download of the... No, we don't have a download. I don't know what we have. We got good stuff.
We don't want the download.
It's so compelling. It's so good. Lewis has brought something extra special that you're going to want to stick around for. And, of course, more talk about firewalls. The fabulously fantastical firewalls, to be more specific, right here on the Computer Corner. So stick around. Lots more show when we come back.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, go!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. I kind of like our new intro thing that they did for us. The last couple of them have been just okay. That one's better. It's got a little slow section where we can slow dance cheek to cheek, and then it picks up into Not Your Daddy's
intro
computer radio show.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. He did. My favorite part, though, is there's nothing of value inside the computer. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good quote.
It's
like a bag of chips.
We just took old shows and just cut them up and actually gave them to a guy named Spanky who works down here at the station. His name's not really Spanky, but that's just what everybody calls him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a magician with chopping stuff up and making it sound good. Because taking my voice and making it sound good, that is a challenge.
Look out.
Let me tell you. You got to slow it way down. I already slow it down consciously to get on the radio. You should hear me talk in real life.
Whoa. I've learned to decipher such Brandon speak.
Ah.
Well, that pitch change does wonders.
Yeah, they doesn't. You know, I've noticed that. My voice, I like to hear. Well, I don't like to hear my own voice, but on this, the mics down here sound so much better.
Bass.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that talk. You probably want to talk about technology. You want to talk about your frustrations and your... You know, whatever's happening in your life with technology, you want to talk to us. We got lines open, 602-277-5827. Should we jump back in the phone? Should we talk about firewalls? Should we talk something Mac? What should we do?
Let's take a call.
Let's take a call?
Yes.
All right. Let's see who has been here the absolute longest. I know you all have been patient there. I think Chuck has been there the longest, so we're going to take him next. It's Chuck. Welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
I
think. We'll find out.
Okay. This question has to do with Windows XP, and specifically, it has to do with the custom side of the update.
Custom side of the update.
Customer Express, when you get the
choice.
It
has Net Framework in there, and also the extensible markup language. Would you keep updating those things to the latest version?
So when it comes to Windows updates, what you're talking about are the different categories of updates.
Yeah.
And there are critical updates, there are recommended updates, there's software updates, there's all these different categories of things. There's also, when it goes to install updates, you can choose the Express button, which is basically, just give me what I need.
That's the criticals, yeah.
Or the Custom, which lets you pick and choose between everything that's out there in the world.
I understand all that.
I know you do, Chuck, but I'm making sure that everybody else listening understands all that so that they're clued into what we're talking about.
Okay.
Cool. So, what's your basic question is do I, these couple of things, this XML extensibility and this .NET whatever, do I care about these things? Now, the .NET framework, you might think, well, I never use that. And you'd be right, except for a lot of the programs you use and more of them these days. Mm-hmm. Rely upon it being there and it being up to date for them to work properly. In the old days of computers, you know, 2 years ago, actually a little longer ago than that, there was everything, a lot of programs relied upon a base component layer of things called the Visual Basic Runtime. And it was basically a base level kind of set of tools that programs could call upon in order to function properly. That was all replaced with the .NET layer, which is the same basic kind of underlying tool layer that a lot of programs rely upon. Mm-hmm. So keeping it up to date is something that I would say is a good idea. So I would say yes to that one. The other one, again, it's has to do with technology that's been around a while, but it's getting used more and more every day, and that is something called XML, which is a big technical thing that basically has to do with a way to exchange data.
Yeah.
Right? And so keeping those things up to date, more and more programs are using those every day, and I would certainly take its advice and go ahead and install those things.
Okay. And just let me make one comment about firewalls. I've used Zone Alarm. Well, I've got two notebooks for many years, at least 10 probably, and I've never had any problem with them whatsoever. I've never had anything go wrong.
Good to know.
Great, yeah.
So Chuck's full endorsement is behind
it
Zone Alarm right there.
Absolutely.
Zone Alarm is getting props today.
That's mm-hmm. right. Hey, thanks for the call, Chuck. We appreciate it.
Nice talking.
You too.
You too.
Bye.
So I actually had a problem once with Zone Alarm. I used it for a long time. And then some program wouldn't work, and it turned out to be some weird incompatibility. And we used to actually not recommend it, but say it was on our okay list of things where we have an approved software section, and we ended up having to take it off because we got so many people having certain problems, and they were very specific kinds of problems. I don't even remember exactly what they were. But some people have great results with one thing, and other people don't have great results. Your mileage out there may vary. Mm-hmm. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, firewalls, which is the topic of today's show, kind of what we sort of said was, I think, what's built into Windows and what you've already got in place from a hardware firewall standpoint is, generally speaking, pretty good stuff. There's actually a website out there that does a real-time live test, or there's a number of them that do, but one that in particular helps show you what the world can see when you're online. And it's a live site that you can go to right now. If you go to GRC, and G for Gibson, R Research, C Center, GRC.com. Crazy guy named Steve Gibson develops all kinds of tools and utilities and things. And when you go to his site, I have to admit, it looks like somebody threw up pictures and text all over the place. There's just stuff everywhere. But if you look around on the site, you'll find a button, a link, to something called, he calls, Shields Up. And when you click on that, it walks you through the process of checking your shields, meaning your firewall. It looks at your computer and tries to show you what the world could see of your computer. And it's a pretty cool thing that you might want to just take a few minutes and go check it out. If nothing else, you'll see what the world can see. The first thing you're going to notice is right away, it knows your IP address, meaning how you're connected. Now, that's not really that ingenious these days. That's a pretty easy thing to get. But it can also check all the common Windows ports to see if you have anything that's exposed. It can also sometimes reveal what your computer's name is. It sometimes knows what geography, where you're located, what city, what state, those kinds of things. And so it shows you quite a bit of information. You might just be surprised how much it knows, and you might find out that you might have an issue there. And the cool thing about his site is that he's not trying to sell anything. If he tells you that there's a problem, he gives you steps that you can take to solve the problem, points you in a good direction, but he's not trying to sell you something, which a lot of places are trying to sell you something, and so it's sort of in their best interest to scare you into thinking you have a problem when you really don't. So I'd recommend that, and there's all kinds of other resources, links, and cool information on firewalls, hardware, software, and the like, Mac, Windows, we got it all, datadoctors.com/radio, you can check those things out. We're going to take another quick time out here, check of traffic and weather again, because that's the way we roll here at KTAR on the weekends, at least. And for the check of traffic and weather, again, it's the princess of the roadways, Miss Carla Cruz herself. Is it time for a YouTube intervention?
YouTube?
I got your attention. See that? A YouTube intervention.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe you need some online backup tips. We've got all kinds of resources posted for you. datadoctors.com/radio. And if you are a subscriber to our newsletter, you got some extra stuff in the newsletter that went out yesterday. We send a newsletter each and every week filled with tips and tricks and helpful information to help keep you protected and keep nasties away from you. It's not filled with ads or viruses or spam or garbage. We don't sell the list to anybody, and we take extra special care to make sure that that we're good to you. If you want to subscribe, you can do so anywhere at our website. Just look for the box that says subscribe. Plug in your email address and follow the little online little prompts there. And it's just that easy. If you, for some reason, think you're subscribed, you're not getting it, your ISP is blocking it, we've made it easy for you as well. Anytime you want, you go over to our free help section and click on weekly newsletter. The last 20 or so are posted there in our newsletter archive. You can click on them, print them, copy them, paste them, dissect them, do whatever it is you do with them. And it's all there to help you stay ahead of the firewall bad guys.
Let's make sure that address is added to your address book.
That's probably not a bad idea. You know, we never tell people that. And all those places out there that send newsletters, the top of our newsletter says that, but
sure.
Yeah, verbalize do that.
Verbalize it.
Add us to the address book. And don't worry about what the address is. When the email comes, just click add to my address book, and it's all good. It's that easy.
Yeah.
Back to phones. That's what we must do. There's somebody with a Mac thing here. And Mike, we're going to get to you in a second, but Lewis has been there a little bit longer than you, so we're going to take Lewis. And Lewis, I can't press Lewis. There I pressed Lewis. Lewis, let me introduce you to Lewis.
Hello, Lewis.
Yeah, like we haven't talked before, huh?
Hey, it's that Lewis. The Lewis sitting across from me is Lewis, the Mac Media guy. The Lewis on the phone is Lewis, the barnacle of the great ship Computer Corner.
Hey, yeah. Hey, I got my new computer up and running, and I have a question.
All right.
I hate to use a mouse, and as you know, you go to a folder or subfolder, press a letter, and you get the first folder or file beginning with that letter.
Yes, I know that, but I bet you a lot of people listening didn't know that, and you just clued them into a cool little tip.
And that's perfect unless the letter begins with M, like in my ebooks, my pictures, my music, my videos.
And then what happens?
Well, you get the M's, but you're not there yet. Now, if you could just put M for music, P for pictures, ebook, E for ebook, V for video, then you would be in computer heaven, maybe.
Well, so let me give you, there is a way to do what you want to do. If you're saying that it goes to the first one that has the M in it, but you want to get to other things. So if you press M the first time, it'll go to, for example, media. But if you press it twice fast, it goes to whatever the second thing is, and three times goes to the third, and so on. And it's not just with M. It's
You have to count and watch it go down.
Oh, my goodness.
let me tell you what my scheme is, and you tell me. You were talking to Chuck about compatibility and changes. If I would rename all the things that start with my to just delete the my and the space, like music, pictures, MPE, and I'll find what I want.
So you can do that, but I'm going to recommend against it because a lot of programs assume that you have a folder called My Pictures and My Music and My Goody Two Shoes and whatever it is. And if you start messing with that, you're going to freak out some of your programs. And for an advanced guy like you, Lewis, I think you'd probably be okay because you'd know what to do. But for others listening, we're going to create some interesting problems for them if we start doing things like that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. So, in other words, I might have to rename some installations to folder that. Because it wasn't finding what it expected when it was looking for my picture.
Yes, or press the M key three times.
Yeah.
Okay. Or use the mouse. Or there's another thing, mind control. I'm using it right now.
Still working on that.
Nah, my mind control's not working. I still hear Lewis, so my mind control. No, I'm kidding, Lewis.
Well, I enjoy the show as usual, and thank you for your help.
Are you back here in A, the United States, and B, Arizona?
I'm in the United States, out in the Atlantic Ocean still. I just took a jump lesson because I want my jumps to get higher and better and more consistent.
So for regular Computer Corner listeners, they all know how insane Lewis is, and I mean that in every sense of the word, but but for those who don't listen regularly...
I call you guys, what do you expect?
Well, exactly. Lewis, gotcha. We call Lewis a barnacle, all in good fun. He has attached himself to the show and just hangs around and overall is a good guy. But Lewis is the guy that we love and we hate because he travels around the world kite surfing, and that's what he does.
Awesome.
Or kiteboarding.
Kite surfing, kite boarding. But whatever he does, he plays, basically, in the water, in oceans and lakes and streams and rivers and puddles all over the planet. And that makes me want to reach out and slap him.
Yeah, well, retired life stuff, but someone's got to do it.
Now, did they drop his life insurance for that?
If you met Lewis, nobody would insure that man. Come on.
Hey, you have met me once, remember?
I do remember. How could I forget?
Yep.
Hey, thanks for the call, Lewis. You take care. See, we get these callers, and he's you never know where he's going to be. He's always out in the world somewhere and doing crazy stuff. We had a call once from United Arab Emirates. Some guy had figured out the difference. He listened all the time and called. Yeah, people from all over the world. We've even had callers from all the way in Chandler, Arizona, if you can believe it.
Oh, what a hike.
Yeah. Another half hour, Computer Corner. Stick around. We got some funky music. You like that, don't you? Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Half hour of Computer Corner left. Thanks again, Lewis from Mac Media. Came in to help out, talk things Mac, talk technology, talk iPhone, talk whatever.
Always thanks, talking sir. Mac.
Always talking smack. And smack. Michael Ennis definitely talking smack.
Always.
All around decent guy. Not good guy, just decent guy. Came in to help as well. So thanks guys again for helping out. And you know what? I'm going to put you on the spot. We do something at the bottom of the hour, the second hour, bottom of the hour, meaning at the 30-minute time period.
Yes.
We have this little thing we call our Geek Speak of the Week. You'll find it on page 2, and it's going to be your thing to do today. Once Pete gives us the beautiful music that sounds like that, each and every week, I talk it up here for free. We bring you some vernacular terminology, words, acronym, something. Not from the language of humans. No, from the language of those geeks. And I mean geeks with a Z. Those guys who think they're so cool, so leet. They talk down to you, the nerds, the jerks, the geeks. We call it our Geek Speak of the Week, and Mike's going to tell you what this week's Geek Speak of the Week is.
This week's Geek Speak of the Week is port forwarding.
Ooh.
Port
sounds
forwarding?
Like it has, is that a nautical term?
Port forwarding, like port authority.
It sounds nautical.
Port Authority, funny enough. I was in New York a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. This is where I tangent. That's what they call this segment.
Tangent.
Yeah.
Take it.
The Port Authority, I don't know why I thought it was going to be something other than what it was. It's a bus station. Is that what you would think the Port Authority was? I know that there's an actual, they do a lot more than that, but there's a building, they call it the Port Authority building, and you go there and it's a bus terminal.
Surprise.
The Port Authority.
Nice.
Anyway, port forwarding. Tell us what
port forwarding. Port forwarding allows remote computers, usually but not always, through the internet, to connect to a specific computer or device behind a fabulous, fantastical firewall.
So you have a firewall in place to protect your network from the bad guys, or the good guys, or whatever, not even bad guys, probably just computers that are looking for
the victims. Elite.
Right.
The elite.
The elite.
So this firewall is in place to keep people out, but you want to allow access to something specific. Most commonly would be you want to allow like remote access so that when you're at work, you can jump onto your home machine and, oops, I forgot to send myself this file or do whatever it is you're going to do.
Or VPN.
VPN. Oh, don't get started, dude.
Vipin.
So in order to accomplish said remote access or whatever it is you're trying to do, oftentimes you need to forward a port.
What's a port, Brandon?
That's port forwarding. What's a port?
It's an extension of the address of the computer.
Dude, you're geeking now. You're geeking.
I thought it was an address on, you know, something you'd see on someone's home.
It acts like that, actually.
So if we want to break it down into the non-geek speak, mm-hmm. right, the port, think of the address as like someone's house. Everybody has an address, right? But when you get to like a big condo building, an mm-hmm. office building, an apartment complex.
I know where you're going with that.
There's one big address, but there might be 50 apartments at this big address. And how do you know which apartment you want to route something to? Well, it's because you have an apartment number or a suite number. Right. And so that would be the equivalent of the port at the address, right? The apartment number. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the equivalency there. And it's in the world of communications and the internet, there's just over 65,000 ports that are available, so to speak. And different programs use different ones by default. And then there's a whole ton of them that are just free for all, use whatever you want out
there.
Is it
bad that I know that it's 65,535? Is that horrible thing?
Well, no, what's really horrible is that you know why it's that, which we won't get into.
That's even worse.
You know why. There's a specific reason that that number, that exact number, is what it is.
We'll talk about that.
It's the same reason, you know, roundabout way that there are 8 bits in a byte and all that kind of weirdness. Yeah. So it has to do with multiples.
Geek alert!
We're not going to go off because we could and it would not be good. By the way, the drinking of the Coke on the microphone, highly professional. Highly professional. You know who loves that kind of stuff? It's Pete. He's not even paying attention, but he cringes when that kind of stuff happens. As do half the listeners, probably. But hey, should we jump back on the phones? I know we've got a Lewis section, but that's going to come after the next break.
Yes.
And if you're a Mac aficionado or just thinking about going Mac or maybe not even... Yeah, well, whatever. You're gonna want to stick around for that because that's coming up in just a few minutes here. With
more information about that fabulous firewall.
That fabulous firewall that's disabled by default, but that can be enabled at the stroke of a mouse, touch of a button, or pressing M 3 times if you're Lewis. Not this Lewis, the other Lewis.
Because once you go Mac.
I've confused people.
I wish it so.
Let us go to Mike, who's been on for quite a bit there. We appreciate your patience. Mike, how can we help you out?
I'm thinking of switching to a Mac system. I have already Windows laptop and desktop, but I'm thinking of buying a laptop Mac. And my question is, the software I have, which is working with Windows, do they work with the Mac system?
I'm going to let Lewis take this one because I know the answer is more complicated than yes or no.
Yeah, the answer is it depends on what you want to do. So Mac systems have the ability to run Windows as well. You can do that in multiple ways. You can install various different applications that they call virtual software that enables you to install the Windows OS. And Apple has their own software called Bootcamp, which you basically dual boot. So you can start up in Mac OS or you can start up in Windows. However, you cannot install those Windows applications on a Mac without actually running the Windows OS.
So let's see if we can break this down a little bit for you, Mike. There are two different ways to take a Mac and let you install Windows in addition to Mac.
Yeah, dual.
And then run Windows programs. One lets you have to choose at boot time. Do I want to go the Mac route or do I want to go the Windows route? And anytime you want to switch, you have to reboot and wait for all that time. The other allows Windows to run sort of like an application inside of Mac.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No rebooting. You can just switch to it just like you'd switch to an internet browser or Word or whatever it is.
It's like an operating system on top of an operating system.
Right.
Right. And inside of that, then, you can install Windows-based programs because you're in a true Windows-based environment. So the answer is yes, no, together.
However, a lot of those programs that are available on the Windows side are available on the Mac side as well, but you would have to repurchase them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter now if I buy Mac because I have to use Windows anyway.
Well, yeah. At the end of the day, what's interesting about this whole Mac Windows world and debate is that hardware is hardware. You get to decide. And in fact, if you really wanted to be you want to kind of geek out a little bit, you can make a regular PC, a what today is a Windows box, you can make it run Mac. It's a lot more technical to make that happen, and there are some things to make it work, but it's possible and doable. So
well, then you need drivers. And,
right. I wouldn't suggest anybody out there listening, unless you're really highly technical, in which case you would have stopped listening to us a long time ago. I wouldn't suggest you try it, but it can be done. So but the point of that is you need to decide if there are things about the Mac that, whether you're going to run Mac or not, people love the interface, the way it feels, the way it looks. It's rugged. It's just built well. They build a quality product, both from a hardware and software standpoint. But the beauty is that you have the flexibility of being able to use what comes with it, in addition to all the things you're familiar and used to.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. You have a great program.
Hey, thank you for the call, and we hope we didn't confuse you more, and we helped.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
No. You cleared the matter. Thanks.
All right, good. Bye bye. See, he called with a yes-no question, and we don't have a yes-no answer.
No, we don't.
Do you ever?
I mean, the answer is sort of no. You can't take... If you have, I mean, for people listening, you have a version of Microsoft Office. Came with your PC, you purchased it, whatever the case might be. And you want to just go and stick that in your Mac, put the disk in, and let it take you up to the screen and go next, 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 like everybody does. I agree. Yeah, go ahead and install whatever you got to do. It's not going to happen. You'd have to go out and repurchase a Mac version of Office, and yes, there's a version of Office has Word, Excel. They work the same way. You click in the cells and you push F2 to edit. I mean, same functions you're used to, same keystrokes for the most part.
Yeah.
Same look and feel. It's all there. They have all the most popular applications, generally speaking, are kind of live in both worlds. But they are different applications. You have to purchase them separately unless you're going to install one of those Windows options, and then you can use the same software you have, again, assuming you have a license and it's legal to do so.
Well, more importantly, though, is do the documents and files that you have on your computer work on the Mac platform, or vice versa if you're going from Mac to Windows?
Compatibility issues.
Yeah, compatibility issues. It's not the applications alone, but it's a matter of opening those files. I mean, you have a lot of important data, and you don't want to go to a new platform and not be able to open those files.
Right. So you got to do your homework a little bit before you just decide to jump. Just because the stuff looks cool, just because they have good commercials, you want to make sure you have someone who can help you make the choice, someone you trust. And I'd be a little weary of the big box stores that are basically sales guys working off of spiffs, meaning they get paid based on what they sell, and sometimes they may get paid better by Company X or Company Y, and so they sell accordingly. And you know, their advice may not be the advice you want to listen to, although they're not all bad guys out there or bad people out there.
Well, that's where you go when you talk to three of the salespeople in the store. If they all recommend the same product, maybe the same monitor, mm-hmm. there may be a kickback.
You never know. If they don't give you the choices and tell you about the features, benefits, pluses, minuses, whatever, yeah. And then say, okay, well, now go for it. Yeah, you might want to worry about that a little. We've been talking a little bit about firewalls and some of the things available to you. We've got hardware, software firewalls, what's the differences. We've got links and resources for how firewalls work, how to set up firewalls, what's built into Windows, what's not, what's built into Mac, and how to enable that. And in fact, if you stick around right after this next break, Lewis is going to tell you step by step some of the things you can do to more securely utilize your Mac and whether or not it's even important. So stick around for those things. If you want to check out any of those resources, online, datadoctors.com/radio. Quick timeout here. Check a traffic and weather, because every time we go do this, Carla keeps telling us about more and more what sounds like a nightmare out there on the roadways. And so, Carla, maybe you've got better news for us? I like that. Let that guitar ring, baby. What note's that, Mike? You don't know.
Sounds like a C.
If you ever have the opportunity, I don't know where you'd have the opportunity or how you'd have the opportunity, but if you ever have the opportunity to see Mr. Michael Ennis play a guitar in a band somewhere, you should.
And if you have a guitar tuner, hold it up to the speakers.
This dude is a freak, a musical freak, I'm telling you.
Does he thrash?
Oh, dude, he does all right with a guitar, but then what's sick is you can set him in front of a keyboard.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't play keyboard. He'll go off.
He's like Danny Elfman.
Yeah, you could throw him. You could throw him.
He pulled off a reference right there. That yeah.
You could throw him on a drum set. Not only can he keep time, but he can
a little grooving.
He can smash some skins there. He can do all right. This dude, he picks up anything and he just freaks on it quickly. And the whole technology mixed with the musical ability.
We're just talking about that during the break. We're talking about laptops being guitar rigs, plugging guitars right into them, and taking them to the gig. It was great.
I knew if I got the two
that's
of you.
That's a whole nother. That's a whole nother topic for another show. We'll talk
yeah?
about that. Music, music technology.
How to turn your laptop into what 5 years? 5 years ago would blow away the technology of, yeah. of mixers and
pretty much.
Well, look at DJs these days.
Oh, I know, it's insane.
You got an iPod and a laptop, not even an iPod anymore, just a laptop and a PA, and you're ready to rock and roll, huh?
That's it. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So we got Cameron, who's been hanging out for a while. He's on the phone. He's got all kinds of troubles. He's got more troubles than I don't even know who, but he's troubled. And we're going to see if we can rescue him and bring him down off that cliff. Hey, Cameron.
Hi.
Hey, don't jump, buddy.
No.
How can we
jump?
How can we help?
All right, well, I've been having computer troubles lately, and I realized that it's about time to replace the computer I've been dealing with the last 2.5 years.
Okay.
So looking into the new stuff out there, going into I want to build a new computer with like a RAID setup. And my first question is, you know, can you go over the difference between like RAID 0 and RAID 1 and,
let's
how to set that up?
Yeah, let's just break it down for a second before we even get into the technical differences between the things.
Okay.
When you start talking about doing RAID, and for those listening, mm-hmm. that's where you put multiple disks in to accomplish generally one of two things. Either you want to get better performance out of a system, or
redundancy.
You want to get some redundancy so that if a drive fails, that you don't have to worry too much. You've got some, you know, you got some fail safe. Which one are you going for, or both?
I'm going more for the performance. I'm trying to build a gaming system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if that's the case, and you're really not too worried about the redundancy, making sure the data is going to be there, you've got other ways to back up, then you really only have probably one choice to consider when it comes to RAID, and that'd be what's called striping.
Striping?
Yeah, okay. And there's all kinds of different numbers, and before we get into the numbers, different manufacturers sometimes talk about different things with different numbers, and so I like to use the English translation,
okay.
Disk striping, which is basically if you take two drives, and let's say each drive, for simplicity's sake, was 10 gigabytes. I know that's ridiculously small today, but let's just go with that. If you take one disk alone, that's 10 gigabytes, and two disks, obviously, is 20 gigabytes. If you're in a redundancy mode, those two disks, actually, you wouldn't get double the space. You'd get the same space, but data gets put on both drives simultaneously. And it gives you then, if one drive fails, you've got the other drive already in place with all the same data. Everything's cool. When we get into disk striping, instead of doubling up all the data, we put half on each drive. And we don't fill up the 10 gig until it's full and then go to the other 10 gig. We actually put half of every file on each drive. And we do it in such a way where we don't figure out that the file is 10 meg and then put 5 meg here, 5 meg there, and split it right down the middle. We take and put little chunks back and forth in little blocks, generally what's called 8K, and I'm geeking a little bit here, but we break it down into small little bytes, and we go back and forth on each drive until we've run out of the need to take more capacity. And that's how we put drives, that's how we stripe drives and how we get data on there. And that what it does is it gives you two disks to read from, each with half the information, which speeds up the ability to read and write data tremendously. Now, you said, I want to speed it up for performance, and then you said specifically for gaming. And if you're a gamer, I would say you'd be throwing money away trying to increase performance on the disk side of things.
Absolutely.
You'd be far better off throwing that money into processor and RAM, depending on the kinds of games you're playing, because the amount of disk load is just to start the game. Once the game's running, as long as you've got sufficient processor and RAM, you're not going to use a whole lot of your hard drive.
Yeah, spend that money on the latest, you know, baddest video card. Definitely your disk performance is going to be a minimal, you know, return on the dollar for that kind of an investment.
Where disk performance starts to make lots of sense is if you're doing video editing,
mm-hmm.
if you're doing any kind of real big photo editing, if you know the billboards you see on the side of the freeway, those files are generally gigabytes each, and a lot of time spent reading and writing that information, so it makes sense there. Makes sense with large like databases and servers and things like that. But for just somebody who's trying to get performance out of gaming, you're going to spend a bunch of money and increase risk and complication and all kinds of things and really get nothing out of it.
Okay, well, I was looking into the graphics cards, and you were talking about, you know, with the performance mm-hmm. of the graphics. And I was looking into the NVIDIA 9800 GX2, which comes with two processors. on it, and I was thinking about doubling up on that. So essentially getting quad GPUs.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of choices out there. You can load up with video memory. You can get more than one video card. I mean,
yeah,
you can
SLI.
You can go nuts and you can go crazy. It really depends on now. You're going to get into some specifics about the games you are playing. And the best bet, I mean, it gets real specific. I would start going into places. If you play, for example, World of Warcraft, which is probably a bad example here, but you would want to go and research in the forums. If you want to truly go nuts on that particular game or any particular game, go find people that play that game hardcore. Go see what they're talking about. Find out what people are doing and where the performance is going to take the best incremental increases and go that route. Don't try to guess with generic hardware and stuff. I would get that specific if I really wanted to go nuts on a couple of particular games.
Is there anything special you need to do when you plug in the two?
Tell you what, Cameron, I'm going to take you off the air and continue with you because we're coming to the end of the show. And I need a few seconds at least to once again thank both Michael Ennis and Lewis, Georges,
well, thank
Mac
you.
Media. Tell people where they can find you during the week when you're actually working.
You can find me at MacMediaInc.com, and we have MacMediaInc.com/radio if you want to read the segment on the...